Welcome to Light Being Found. My love Jason was in the U.S. Army. 20 days after I found him, I started documenting my journey through video and audio recordings. Join me as I share my journey as a suicide loss survivor, from struggling to find the light to light being found. Hello, loves. Thank you for joining me. We are at season one, episode three. This is the very beginning of me unfolding my journey. I am literally watching my videos for the first time. The majority of them, I haven't viewed any of them except for a handful to two, and there are so many of them. So I've had them put in chronological order from everything that I've recorded, whether it be screenshots or voice memos or conversations or video recordings. So they're all in chronological order. Whew. I've known that the beginning of unfolding my journey, this journey, not only, yes, will continue in my healing, but also through that, there's been a bit of like angst and wonder and curiosity of where will I be brought back to within my journey, and how will I look at it now? I'm being, you know, years out, 9+ years from when I first started doing these recordings. Where will I be at now? And then also, where will I be at now while I'm in the moment of the actual whatever it is that I was sharing at the time? And so I did feel that it would come with some emotions, and it definitely has come with a lot of emotions. I started going through material a couple of days ago and came across, like, whew. Yesterday, as I was prepping everything to organize it, I just had so many emotions. Beautiful. But I'm brought right back to those moments. And whew. Yeah. So here we go. thank you for joining me as I share this journey with you. The very first thing I came across was a note he left to me in his phone. And it wasn't a note, it was a text. And it was a text that he did not send. You know, the big question everyone has, which in a lot of ways I feel like doesn't equate or mean anything to a certain extent, is did the person leave a note? And there physically was not a note left. In his phone, he had left me a text message. And I did not realize that until I was able to even begin to go through his phone. And I don't recall how long that took me. I'm sure a little bit of time before I opened up his phone. But so his phone had a text to me, and the text says, "I love you so much. The best years of my life being with you." And such a gift that he left that. Also, like, such a dagger, because I know that I feel like it was the last thing he put before he left. And so there's a lot of emotions about it. Whether you got a note or not, whether a note was left or not, I know that it comes with a lot of emotions. And initially, I definitely had a lot of emotions, like there's nothing. Where's a note? There's not a note. And not that this is necessarily a note, it's a text that he didn't press the send on. Either way, this journey comes with so many different emotions. And so wherever you are at in your journey, whether there was a note or not, and however you're navigating those emotions and feelings regarding that, And just be really gentle with yourself because you are listening to the words that you are sharing and saying to yourself. And regardless of what those words are and were, there was a tremendous amount of love there. And that's a for sure thing. So the next thing that popped up was his playlist. It was popped up as his favorites, and his phone did an automatic thing of the top 50 songs as favorites. And then there's also another playlist that's a top 50 most played songs. So those are two different playlists. And this song popped up in his most recently played playlist. And it was the last song that it was on. And it is called Dust in the Wind. And I am going to read it to you. I close my eyes only for a moment, and the moment's gone. All my dreams pass before my eyes. A curiosity, dust in the wind. All they are is dust in the wind. Same old song, just a drop of water in an endless sea. All we do crumbles to the ground, though we refuse to see. Dust in the wind, all we are is dust in the wind. Now don't hang on, nothing lasts forever but the earth and sky. It slips away, and all your money won't another minute buy. Dust in the wind, all we are is dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind. Dust in the wind. Everything is dust in the wind. Everything is dust in the wind. The wind. So on his phone, it automatically does two different playlists. One of them are the top 50 most recently played songs. And then the other is the top 50, like all-time favorites. And so Dust in the Wind was in the most recently played. The most recently played in a lot of different ways became a way to have additional insights into what Jason was going through emotionally. By being able to listen to those top 50 songs. And something that was really sweet is that on both lists, half of each list was the same songs. And it was all of his favorite jazz songs, which just made me smile. Keeping jazz on, in addition to all of the lights, was a therapeutic process for me. I had a really difficult time functioning, and having all the lights on was absolutely necessary. I think just because of how absolutely dark it was inside for me. And then also keeping jazz on just nonstop as well provided some type of comfort, especially comfort amongst my own internal dialogue and thoughts to be able to tune out of myself and hear some of his favorite music was great. But the most recent top 50 songs, the songs that were not jazz, were very telling. Jason absolutely loved music, and music was a big part of our lives. So being able to listen to songs that maybe were not songs that were playing on our playlist all the time was incredibly insightful for me in my processing of where was he at, what was he feeling, what was he going through, what did I miss. And then also the favorites, that part of his playlist, after I was able to spend a great lengthy amount of time going over to the most recently played playlist, I was able to what I feel like was relish in the favorites playlist. There were many of our favorite songs and songs he has shared with me that he felt were for me and about me. So that also, in a lot of ways, was a gift to see that those songs were on his phone and something that he was constantly playing when he was commuting or, doing random chores or stuff, things that he personally was listening to. So really special. So From there, my actual first video that I have is from a friend, and the video is actually part of his service that she took. And the video I have saved is a portion of the service where they fold up the flag, which is it's powerful. And then I felt like that really belonged with his mom. So she has his flag as well as him. In addition to that, when we used to talk about where or how, what would he like done if he is to leave the world before me, he honestly just really did not care. And we had discussed it multiple times that whoever needed whatever, that he was great with that. Just it didn't really didn't matter to him. And so I had felt that for me, losing a child, I really could not imagine what that entails and what one goes through in any way. Just losing a child for any reason, period. It's one of those things that I have a hard time even envisioning. So my heart goes out to everyone that is in and of that type of a journey where they have lost their child. Anyhow, so that, like, whew, that had me at pause to watch that again. And then going from there, my very first recording that I did is just a random recording of me. I had been in the kitchen for an hour and a half. I was going through a part of what we were doing every weekend, and that was playing around with different coffees. We also had been roasting Ethiopian beans to figure out like the roast that we like too. And so in this video, I just came out of the kitchen from just being stuck for an hour and a half. I'm playing one of the playlists. I have the music in the background. You might even be able to hear my dog Jai, her feet tapping around in the background too. And it is weird to say my dog because it's our dog, but you know, she spent more time with me here than with us here. And so, yeah, all right. I will share the first video with you. Hey, I have to start recording myself because I'm afraid that I'm going to not capture a lot of the raw emotion that I'm feeling throughout this. Today is the third week since I found him. And it's just been a whirlwind. Yeah, I've been standing in the kitchen for like the last hour and a half, just bawling and just being stuck. Every weekend, like, we've been playing around with different espresso blends and doing the stovetop espresso maker. And so we had one more to try, and it's the Illy, the Illy. That was the last one. So I just tried it for the first time. I don't know. It's like a ritual that we've started doing like these last 6 plus months, and I think I'm probably gonna find comfort in continuing to do it on the weekends with our favorite espresso blends. But anyway, so today is May 31st. It's also Celeste's birthday, and that was an old friend, kind of like a sister, who passed away, I think about 5 years ago. Anyways, I'm gonna try to start recording more and more.
I just have to get into like a flow of it and do it for everything. All right, I'm signing off now.
All right, so that was the very first video that I recorded. When I share recorded videos, I really am going to do what I can to make sure I'm minimally editing it. There's going to be a lot of silent pauses in there. If you're able to take in the podcast where you're able to watch it, I'm at Light Being Found on YouTube. That's where you'll find the video podcast as well as on Spotify for Suicide Loss Survivor Documented Journey, which is the podcast. So if you are driving around your car listening, just know that there's some moments that I'm gonna just keep as they are. Of course, if I have too long of silences or too much sobbing in between, I'll kind of edit those a little bit. But I think it's important to be able to see me processing, even if it's not coming with words. You can see a great deal of emotion in whatever it is that I'm saying and whatever I'm conveying at the time. There's a lot of other things happening visually within the video as well. So the recorded video prompted 5 more recorded videos that day, which I went through as well, just for myself. One of them was a walkthrough of our Lakewood place. And then the second video, I decided, oh, I wanna re all the memories that come to me, I want to walk around and record our place with whatever memories pop in my mind. And then the third video was that I wanted to have a video of everything that I could recall of finding him and how that played out from the moment of opening the door to everything that happened afterwards. The apartment videos were definitely emotional for me, and I had felt slightly apprehensive about how I would feel when I actually revisit the video again of me walking through from the moment I walked into the door and everything that followed. And it was in a lot of ways reaffirming, reminding me that like my memory does provide justice to like how I have been processing, that that is what I recalled, and it's echoed in the video for how that played out for me once I did open the door and turning the corner and seeing Jai pawing at him and finding him. Yeah, and then from there, I gave his car to his brother. So I have a video of me recording how the car was and whatever memories I had from our adventures in the car. And then also another video that I actually watched for the first time at the end of August was a video of me doing the first park walk at our absolute favorite park. It is such an amazing, gorgeous, massive park without Jason. And I'm just recording all the different little parts of the park and, special little memories that I had from our walks together. And which was so cool is that I could see Jai would hop almost like a bunny. She's a mini Aussie. But I don't have any video of that. And she got injured a couple of years ago in her back. And so how, that would put her steps backwards on maneuverability with her mobility. So kicking out after going to the bathroom or hopping around like that were things that she would get reprimanded for because we'd have a lot of downtime for healing. So she just didn't do it anymore. And in the video of the park, she's hopping all around and kicking out, and just it was such a gift to re-watch that video. And I totally forgot that I made that video. I found it when I was looking through, all the pictures or videos I have of her to put it together as additional healing for me as I was processing my mourning and just missing her. So one of the things too in there these first two videos I'm sharing today is that You can hear this little tapping in the background at times, and it's her walking all around. It's her little paws tapping. And when I first unfolded this and heard this, it just made me smile. You know, my journey with her is part of the reason for me that I feel like I call her my little mama. You know, she took care of me, and she understood and knew the entire dynamic with Jason because she was ours ever since 7.5 weeks. So she was really in tune to the emotions I was having regarding him, and she 1000% knew every time I was in great sorrow of his departure. So kind of sweet to hear her little feet tapping around in the background. But here is the second video.
Hey, I thought I would video record this because I just woke up and this is what I've been looking like for the last few weeks. So I'm looking forward to my first day that I do not cry and for my face to start to look normal again and for my energy to be okay so people do not know that something is wrong. And I know that that'll happen when something isn't wrong anymore. So I just have to go through this time right now and process everything and take it in. I just want some kind of documentation for what's going on with me. All right. It rained today, so kind of feels nice. When I smile, I can tell how swollen my eyes are. All right, I'm out.
So the second video today is just an echo of me saying, I cannot believe what this journey is. And I pretty much was blown away at it. Another thing that kind of entertained me as I'm looking back at it is that I was like, I woke up like this. Like I saw another, in prepping for these, I did another quick take and I was recording a video and I was like, I woke up like this. And it cracks me up because usually you, when I think of that, I hear people being like, yeah, I woke up like this. But so in the video, when I'm hearing that, I'm like, that's funny to hear it. But it's because I'm saying, like, I woke up like this. Like, my face is just, I'm so swollen. Like, yeah. So I know that many can definitely relate to that as well. And also the curiosity and wonder of when am I going to stop crying? Or when will I not look like this? Or when will my energy not reflect this? For me, it's when I, you know, when I'm no longer feeling that, my energy will not reflect that. Yeah. Something that I really wanted to bring up too that I feel like is such an invaluable resource for the military families out there is TAPS. So it's the Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. So beautifully rich with just love and care. I feel immense gratitude that I am part of the TAPS family and that they have birthed this amazing, beautiful space and place that they hold for survivors of military member loss, which so much and so many of us as well are suicide survivors of military member loss. And they sent this amazing box to me full of like these really in-depth resources of what the grieving journey is like, and really, really resources that were very helpful. And in addition to that, the program also provides you with therapy. I believe it's for 6 months. And then they were also holding in person, depending on, what closest base you were located to, would depend on the frequency or what kind of groups were meeting. But they also provided support group in person. I went to one and it wasn't really for me. I found a lot more intimacy when I was going to my suicide loss survivor for partner loss groups. Yeah, really blessed that that place exists. And I will share more about that place down the road. But then also with TAPS, something that was really invaluable too is that they were able to connect me with I guess you can say a mentor in a way, but with another survivor partner who had also lost their partner, who was also in the military. And for me, being a fellow military family member it was so important to speak to another military family member. I'd really felt like this loss was, it came from like such a level of discipline and self-preservation and just the manner in which it was navigated that I felt like it's a different caliber of loss. And I'm sure that the other military members that are listening can also probably feel that they possibly definitely also can relate to that type of feeling. So for me, it was really comforting to be able to connect with another wife and be able to hear her journey, be able to ask her questions about it, and also to be able to see where she was and is at with her healing. So, if you are a military member and have experienced loss of your military partner or spouse or child, or yes, TAPS, Tragedy Assistant Program for Survivors, is available and would be able to have some resources to be able to provide you as you navigate your healing journey. All right, so for today's story, I'm gonna share the next picture in our book. And I did say out of those 144 pages that a lot of them are pictures. So I'll share the next picture and then the following page, which is a quick little snippet. All right, so this picture piggybacks off of our first picture. It's just the second picture taken at the same time, but he's just so handsome. And I think that there's a lot of emotion in both of our eyes. So when I look at the picture, it definitely brings a smile to my face. All right, so here is the next page in our book. It says, "Here we are, shorties." He said that he's wanted a dog since he was 3. I could not remember nothing about being 3. His mom says the same. There I am mugging already. I love that picture of me. I think it's so cute. And I definitely is part of my personality. I feel her. And then the pictures of him are super cute. Like I said, his mom was not in his life for 9 years. And so when I met her, there were a lot of emotions for both of us. These are pictures that she had, the kid pictures. And the picture of him in like the mustard colored shirt, I'm like, oh, he's so cute. And then she says, "Yes, let me tell you about that day. That day is the first day that this child came across a dog, and he didn't ever shut up about a dog. From that moment forward, he had wanted a dog." And I like all of me was filled with just massive love and gratitude and appreciation for this picture being shared with me and me sharing my thoughts on it, which prompted her story because it really full circled everything back to what he's been saying for his love for and of Jai. And he even had her name picked out. He told me, like, let's both think about names and then we'll regroup and figure out what we want to go with. And my name that I picked was Kaya, super similar. And he picked Jai, which is also, victory as well. And we went with Jai, and he told me months later that he had already picked out her name beforehand and was just gonna have like an argument depending on what names we picked out for, like, let's go for Jai. So kind of funny, but like he watched all possible dog videos around it, like the wanting to get her and how consumed he was with the process and the planning to get her, like all the time and investment that went into it was just so amazing. And so I definitely feel like she was and is, even though she's not here anymore, definitely a gift that was here for me, and that there was an understanding of what my journey was going to entail and how it was going to unfold, and that she was going to be a source of strength for me through that. And that this is why, on this day with this cute little mustard photo, he came into like just falling in love with wanting to have a dog. And it's just super sweet to me every time I look at this photo. And then, kind of piggybacking off of that too, is what today's quote is going to be, which is, important encounters are planned by the souls long before the bodies see each other. And that is by Paulo Coelho. And it's such a beautiful quote. And it's definitely how I feel about my journey and the loves of my life that I get to cross paths with and be with here in this life. And that they have great meaning, and that they were set into play and motion like long before I arrived here in my physical form and am feeling what that encounter feels like. When you meet someone and you feel like you've just known them forever, or there's such like a magnetic pull that it's indescribable. And that for me is part of what this quote means to inform me. If my story or my quote or really anything that I shared in today's podcast resonated with you, please share, leave me a comment down below. And then if you would like notifications for upcoming podcasts, please subscribe. All right, wherever you are in your journey, I'm sending you so much love and light and healing as you navigate your journey. Please be gentle with yourself as you are listening to the words that you are saying to yourself. Let go of the expectations of what this grieving journey looks like, and give yourself a little bit of love along the way. I'm giving you these big, massive JAM hugs. Until the next one, take good care.